It would seem strange on Christmas Day. Out of all the verses from chapter 2, to find a message from simple words, there was no room in the inn. It seems like such a practical statement, doesn't it? There was a census going on, and everybody had to go to their hometown to register, and so the hotels, the bed and breakfast, and all the places, and people who had relatives, there was no guest room that was empty. There was no room. I don't know if you've ever experienced trying to find a place to stay, and there was no room. A number of years ago, Pastor Al might remember this. I was at a conference in Minnesota. And at the end of that conference, I was supposed to be flying out as well as the other participants. And we flew in and out of Fargo, North Dakota. And there we were. And that day, or should I say late afternoon, early evening, electronic spike hit United Airlines and the whole quadrant from the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minnesota, all the way to the West Coast, Washington State, that whole upper northwest section of the United States, no flights were flying. So the guys that had flights before mine, they had gotten out, and my flight, they announced, was delayed, and then it was delayed again, and now it's going on to 9 o'clock, and I didn't know this at the time, but you don't get to stay overnight at the airport if it snows in. They lock the doors. And so I had to go someplace. And the airlines, to their graciousness, tried to find us hotel rooms. But there were three events in that community that were happening all at the same time. There's a Concordia University there. It's not part of our Lutheran Church Missouri Center, but it's a Lutheran college. And they were having something, and there was something else. And there was no hotel room to be had. And they weren't going to let us stay inside the airport. So about 11 o'clock at night, I rent a car and I drive to the other side of the state, to the Twin Cities, to catch a plane the first thing in the morning. And there was no room in the city. I don't know if you've traveled like that up in Nebraska when there's a snowstorm and they shut down the interstate. You may have been on the road and found, well, there's no hotel room. And you're certainly not willing to sleep in the car when it's so freezing cold. It was winter time. There was no room. Sounds like such a simple statement, doesn't it? Sounds like, well, it wasn't personal. Or was it? Think about it. The prophecies have been going on for a long time. That the Messiah would be born of a virgin was not new. It wasn't brand new when the gospel, this good news, this chapter was made reality in our history. The people had stopped looking. The people had stopped hoping. For 400 years, there had been no prophet spoken and sent by God. There had been no room for Jesus for quite some time. It wasn't new. And so the angels told the shepherds, go and see. And they did. And they found no room, right? They went to the manger. They saw what we call the nativity. And there Jesus is wrapped in just, you know, strips of cloth, fabric, and trying to keep warm. And there he is laid in straw. No bed, no cradle, nothing like that. Because there was no room. And Jesus grows up. At the age of 12, we hear about him again, and he's in the synagogue, and there he is being questioned and questioning the leadership, the spiritual teachers of the day. And they too said they were amazed, but there wasn't room inside them either. And when he began doing like the first miracle at the wedding of Canaan, people wondered, how could this be? Water into wine. But still, there wasn't room in their hearts. Not for the Messiah, not for the Savior. And then room started showing up, and people flocked to him for healing, to have their needs met. They were fed out in the wilderness, and there they were in awe, and they wanted to make him king. But he was already king. There was no room to make him Savior. And finally, as foretold, there was absolutely no room when they became part of the crowd that shouted, "Crucify him." A simple sentence at the time of his birth describes the situation on earth. Can you imagine? Would you even consider intentionally going to a place where there's no room? For you and I, that would sound insane. Right? That would be nuts. Who in their right mind would do that? But maybe that's part of the message of Christmas. What was needed was room. And Christ would make that room. He made a manger his dwelling place for a short time. And then soon, you know, they find lodging. And then they go down to Egypt because there was going to be a threat on his life. And then they come back and he's raised in Nazareth. Christ made, God made, in sending his son, a place for him. And you and I, by our sinful nature, we don't automatically have room for Jesus. But it is the message of the gospel that comes into our heart. And I don't know how it works on everyone, and I don't think it's cookie cutter, but there the gospel comes in, and it begins to fill the heart. And as it fills the heart, it makes no room for everything else. You know what it's like? We think of it as Thanksgiving dinner. You started eating at noon, and it's 2 o'clock, and you're still eating. And then somebody goes to the kitchen and says, "Oh, I forgot. There's lemon meringue pie. That's my favorite." And there you are. The whole turkey is in you. And you're thinking, I have no room. You have no room for the best. The sweetest morsel of forgiveness and life and salvation. Because our heart is full of everything else but him. And the gospel comes into our heart and it crowds out hate, revenge, our self-entitlements. It crowds out the things of this world. Including fear. It crowds out. Christ makes his room in us. You know, John 3:16, when we think, God so loved the world that he sent, gave his only begotten son. Sometimes we make that giving and that gift outside of us. But it's really, not only did Christ come in the flesh, but Christ came into here, into our flesh, into our heart. To change our hearts and minds so that we would have the forgiveness of sins, you know, the hope of everlasting life, and until he comes, we would have peace with God. The Christmas gift is, yes, the reality there was no room in the inn. Yes, the reality Sometimes I close my heart. I don't want more. I don't want spiritually more. I want to hold on to what I think I have. But the gift is that God gave His Son to be inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and He made His room here. And then He tells us, and we believe this by faith, that He goes to prepare a place for us to be with Him. And He makes room for us there in the kingdom of heaven. What gifts, remarkable gifts, God has given at Christmas. It started with rejection. There's no room. And it ends with, I have a place for you. For with God, hey, that's pretty good, isn't it? With God, there's always room. Yeah. You know, and it's not meant to be the commercial. There's always room for Jell-O. You know, remember that commercial. It's meant to be His gift. With God, there is always room for His people. There is always room for the Spirit in your heart to work. There is always His gift of love in life and salvation. Amen.